You're smart. Your TV is smart. That's why you cut the cord. But you need one more thing.
Alaska's News Source. Watch live or when it's convenient for you, here's how.
Just search Alaska's News Source on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, or Android TV. Install and enjoy.
It's completely free and has everything you need in one spot.
Breaking news.
Statewide weather. In-depth investigations.
Start streaming Alaska's News Source live today.
Welcome to this edition of In-Depth Alaska. I'm Tracy Sinclair. Marshall is a small community of just over 400 people on the Yukon River north of Bethel. 40-year-old Kimberly Fitka O'Daman was reported missing on June 15th, just after she called her mother to say she was going to break up a fight and had just been punched in the face. By the time Kim's mom made it to the scene, all was quiet and there was no one around, including Kim. 12 days later, her body was found miles downstream by fishermen. From the earliest moments, the family was not happy with the way Alaska State Troopers responded to their call for help. Joining me now is David Bernkoff with our investigative unit. Tell me a little bit about this, David. Why was the family upset right at the start?
The family in Marshall called the state troopers, obviously, and asked for a search. The troopers said they couldn't do a search right away, so a private organization that helps with these things started flying planes and did not find Kim. A few days later, and this is somewhat for discussion, the family says it was about 5 days. The troopers say it was 2 or 3 days, but it was several days before troopers got to Marshall. And the family says in that time, people who harmed Kim messed with evidence, moved things around, cleaned things up, and hid the fact that there was a crime. And that's why the family is was upset.
What do the troopers say to that?
The troopers say they got there as soon as they could. We all know in Alaska, in one of these towns that's off the roads, it takes a while to get troopers together, get on a plane, and get to a small place like Marshall. In fact, this is related to the story indirectly. Just this year in the governor's budget announcement, the head of the troopers announced in the new budget is a new airplane to put on the other side of the Alaska Range so the troopers can get to these kinds of cases quicker. So it is a known problem, but the troopers say they got there as fast as they could and they committed the full investigative weight of the Bureau of Investigation. The family also says that they noticed a lack of professionalism on the part of the troopers. They said troopers weren't taking the case seriously. They were snacking. They were petting dogs. They just didn't do a proper investigation. And Kim's cousin, Kaylin, told us in an interview that this is one of those cases where, quote, everybody in the community knows what happened. Well, as you can imagine, that's not enough to indict someone for a crime, and that's sort of where this case goes. Let's hear now from Kim's cousin and the Alaska State Troopers.
But we know, the community knows, everybody but literally law knows what happened to Kim. And it's sad that we had to put this case together and we're trying to prove to the troopers this is a case to look at because she's terrified of the water. She was terrified.
As far as the death investigation goes, we had fixed-wing aircraft looking for her. We had my investigators from three different geographic regions, either out in Marshall, helping with interviews, or conducting forensic analysis of cell phones, working on tower information, and ultimately just trying to thoroughly investigate her death in an effort to identify whether or not there was any probable cause or even any suspicion of criminal behavior. Ultimately, at the end, in obviously close concert with the state medical examiner's office and their findings, we have yet to be able to uncover any direct links to any credible information to support that a crime has occurred. And I started off by saying that it's unfortunate, it's a tragedy when somebody dies in this manner. And my crew, my investigators and the Alaska State Troopers as a whole, when we have somebody come to us and tell us this death is suspicious, we investigate it like it's a homicide. We put all the resources we can into it, just like it's a homicide. My motto is it's a homicide until proven otherwise. And we've done that. We've put as much effort as we possibly can in all the regions that we possibly can in order to try to prove that up. And unfortunately, we have yet to locate anybody with any direct evidence that a crime has occurred.
So what have you learned about what happened in the time just before Kim called her mom about that fight she was going to break up?
There was a gathering of people. I don't know if it was a party, but there was a gathering of several people. There's no question about this. Kim was there. Some kind of an argument started. Again, police concede that this is what they learned. Kim was hit in the face. She tells her mother after the fact on a phone call, I got hit in the face. I'm going to break up a fight. And that's the last anyone heard of her. When we asked the troopers what they knew about that fight, the troopers said, yes, she was hit. People who were in the room confirmed she was hit. What they were told, the troopers, is that it was an accidental blow, that a drunken person was trying to hit somebody else, accidentally hit Kim, and that there's no indication that her injuries were severe. The family says the story of no evidence of anything criminal just doesn't make sense. Like, she gets hit in the face and then disappears, obviously, to the family. And again, based on things that they say they were told, somebody in that room was angry at Kim and did something to harm her, pushed her in the river maybe, maybe drowned her. Again, the police say that when they went out there, there's no evidence of any fight. There's no evidence of a struggle. There's no evidence in the later autopsy that she was harmed in a fight. And so they say, after running down every lead that the family shared with them, they don't have evidence of a crime.
The police have made a point to say that the toxicology shows Kim was very inebriated. What does the family say to this?
This has caused real anger on the part of the family. After our story aired, where the head of the Bureau of Investigation said that her blood alcohol level was over 0.2, which is quite high, he also said that there was evidence in the toxicology that she had consumed hand sanitizer or isopropyl alcohol in some mixture during this party gathering. That really antagonized the family, who felt it was a cheap shot. They concede that Kim was drinking. Everybody says that's what happened. They say that illegal vodka was being stored by the people who had this gathering and that it was cheap vodka that she was drinking. They just feel like making a point of saying it was isopropyl alcohol or hand sanitizer was a direct, deliberate dig at Kim's character, and they're not happy with that.
Yeah, because it really does give you a certain impression of a person that would do that.
Yes. On the other hand, again, the family does not deny that Kim was likely, had likely been consuming alcohol.
Cases where Alaska Natives feel disrespected or ignored by investigators, these aren't uncommon. Does this situation fall into that category?
It absolutely does. And we asked her children about that. One of her sons, Christian, went to the Alaska Federation of Natives convention in October and spoke about this issue. And then he spoke to us about it. And he said, while the family wants to focus on Kim's case, since they started raising issues about this case, they've heard from many other Alaska Natives with similar stories about feeling disrespected by the police, investigations weren't handled properly, especially in these small communities where it's hard to get police to investigate them, and there largely isn't any investigative presence in the town to begin with. So it, no matter what investigators want to do, it still takes some days to get there. So yes, the family definitely feels like that and feels like they were disrespected then, and obviously they still feel like they're being disrespected somewhat. The troopers are very adamant in denying that. We had a long interview with the lead investigator, the head of the investigators, who said they approached this case as if it was a homicide. All the investigators acted as if it was a homicide. It was only after investigation and not having evidence that they decided it was most likely an accidental drowning. But they were quite upset about the accusations and said they spoke to the family directly, denied the accusations that there were some prejudice against Alaska Natives, but that's not enough to make the family feel better. That's clear. Let's hear now from Kim's son, Christian, and again from the commander of the Alaska Bureau of Investigation.
It's not necessarily a special case, because even since we've spoken out about it, we've been approached by numerous families telling us about their experiences with the troopers, how their family members went missing, and how they're dismissed, and how they never got their proper investigations either, and they're in their years down the line of wondering about answers on their families. And I think it's just pretty unacceptable to be treating our people with such lack of urgency and importance.
This has been reported on for quite some time, that murdered indigenous people disproportionately have more deaths. And the family does feel, at least some members of the family do feel like this was not given the respect and the attention it deserved because they weren't white.
That's unfortunate, because I told the family to their face, I don't care what race, religion, color you are, God you pray to, your case is going to be handled like every other case, and we're going to dump every single resource and we're going to leverage every single possible resource that we have at our disposal within law enforcement, that includes federal and state, in order to solve any kind of crime. I don't care if it's sexual assault, sexual abuse, a minor, homicide, or just your quote-unquote run-of-the-mill domestic violence. Race and all of the other things never even play a role in our consideration. And I'm sorry they feel that way.
And in fact, the family just finally, we were told, got some new documentation recently, the final autopsy report. So we're going to try to get a look at that.
Where are we now? Is this over? Is the case still being investigated? What are the next steps?
We're still following this case and trying to learn that. At some point, we expect to be able to look at the autopsy report, and maybe there will be some more information either about injuries or no injuries. But the real thing that is potentially a development that we will be following very closely is the family has been told that troopers and investigators might be returning to Marshall. Not necessarily because they have discovered some great new detail or information, but at least to go back and check on some things that the family wants them to check on, maybe re-interview people. So I don't think we can say the case has been reopened, because I don't think it was ever closed in that sense, the way people sometimes think about cases. But it is possible that investigators are now willing to take another look. And we'll keep on that.
Sounds good. An interesting story, and not only because of we have an open case and we have a woman who's died, but as you said, just the ongoing issue of how people in Alaska Native villages and in rural Alaska tend to interact with troopers, and the impressions that both sides have of each other, just kind of that that tension that seems to be existing, will be something we should track.
That is a part of it. And the other thing that I know people want closure on these kinds of cases. It is possible that we'll never know with complete certainty what happened here. Person dies, witnesses are not admitting to anything, bodies found 12 days later downstream, 35 miles downstream. That may leave a mystery that is not solvable.
David Bernkopf with our investigative unit. We will keep you up to date as things go along. Thank you so much for joining us on In Depth Alaska. We appreciate you listening. Like and subscribe to this podcast.